So I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So Charlie asked me in the vestry if I was going to preach on Proverbs, given some of the stuff that's in Partnership News. But I'm not. As interesting as a little discourse on the wisdom literature of the Old Testament might be, you know, we can always have a couple of hours on that subsequently. But you will see it is quite fascinating stuff. And James certainly alludes to it. But if you look at the Bible readings we had today from James and from the Gospel reading of Mark, there seems to be a bit of a clash, you know, a huge gulf in what's being said. Because on the face of it, we've got James saying we should show no favoritism and, you know, all are equal. And then in the Gospel reading, we have Jesus apparently refusing or speaking very rudely to the woman who approaches him, the Syrophoenician woman, on the grounds of her race. And it just seems as a, you know, you look at these two and it's how do they hang together? There's just a huge clash. Because if you remember the background to the Gospel reading, Jesus has just come from his discourse with the Pharisees, where he's been talking to them about their obsession with the ritual purity laws and about washing your hands. And you remember, you know, he said, well, actually, it's not what goes into somebody that makes them clean. It's what comes out of somebody which defines their purity and their cleanliness. So he's just had the discourse with the Pharisees. He's now off in Tyre, and it's not clear whether he's actually in hiding, or whether he just wants a bit of time, a bit of peace and quiet, a bit of secrecy almost with his disciples, where he wants to teach them a little bit more about the kingdom. And then he's greeted by this woman. And it's, you know, he might have wanted a bit of privacy, but clearly he hasn't got it. And Jesus, who has just challenged the Pharisees about purity and about ritual obedience to the law, is now himself challenged by somebody who has broken just about all the laws on purity that you could imagine. First of all, she's a Greek. It says that in the text, so she's not part of the Jewish nation. She has a daughter who is who's possessed by an evil spirit. So her daughter, because of whatever that was, would be seen as unclean. The woman herself would be seen, therefore, as unclean by association because she would have been touching her daughter, as you naturally would. She's from Tyre, which is known as, you know, a place and a center for, you know, its pride, and it's just, you know, it's kind of sectarian view and secular view of the world. So, you know, she's just unclean and impure on so many counts. And then the other thing she does is she goes and kneels at Jesus' feet. And in Jewish society at that time, if a man knelt at another man's feet, that was a sign of reverence. It was a sign of, you know, acknowledgement of somebody who, you know, is it kind of a somebody to be acknowledged in society. It was a sign of reverence and respect. But if a woman was seen to do that, then it was a sign of belittlement for the person that she was kneeling in front of. So, you know, here's another taboo that's just about to go. And then on top of all that, any self-respecting rabbi didn't really speak to women. And so all of this is going on in that little cameo where Jesus has just spoken to the Pharisees about ritual cleanliness, obedience to the law, and he's suddenly challenged himself in exactly the same way. And you can imagine the whole place going a bit quiet as to what's going to happen. And there's almost a sense in which there is that kind of pregnant pause before Jesus responds. And he talks to the woman. And she clearly doesn't get the answer she's looking for. So again, she asks him again. You know, and finally, you know, we get, yes, the kingdom of God is for all. And it's, you know, that it's a personification, if you like, of what Jesus has been talking about with the Pharisees, almost in reverse, as he demonstrates what he's been talking about with the Pharisees. There was a sense in which the Pharisees were looking for everybody to be the same. And Jesus is saying, when you look at the kingdom is open to all, and all are equal in the sight of God, but that's not the same as all being completely the same and all being completely clones. It's very, very different. The kingdom is open to everybody, irrespective of race, colour, creed, background, wealth, whatever. And it's quite interesting, isn't it, that we actually like making comparisons. And sometimes they can be helpful. You know, we've all enjoyed tremendously, I imagine, the Paralympic Games. One of the reasons that works so well is that there is a formal classification system that says, you know, these people are not the same, but, you know, we need to have some kind of sensitive system that says we can group people together so that they can compete together on an equal basis, or as equal as it can ever be. You know, we're great at comparisons too when, you know, we just think, oh, today, this weekend is the hottest weekend of the year that they've had this year. I'm not sure Richard might correct me on that. Or, you know, July has been the wettest July since records began. You know, we like to make comparisons. It's part of our human nature. I've been told about it. I'm not sure I've actually seen it on the TV. Do you remember the sketch? I think it was originally from, was it The Frost Report? With John Cleese, Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett. Yeah? Now, and everybody remembers that and smiles about it. But it works because it is, you know, poignantly close to what we see and how we are in the world today. And it isn't about being the same, but it's about being equal in the sight of God. And we need to accept that, you know, we are different. And actually, if we didn't acknowledge those differences, if we didn't, for example, acknowledge the difference between those who have more and those who are perhaps less well off, then we wouldn't have some of the programs that we have in the world today to assist the needy. If we just said, no, we're all the same, you know, there is no difference, then a lot of the humanitarian work that goes on, often driven by Christian agencies, sometimes not, would not happen. It's good to acknowledge that there are differences. But what James is saying in his letter is, but we should show no favoritism. Acknowledging differences is one thing, but showing favoritism is another. And there's another clash that James has with Paul, because Paul talks about, you know, justification by faith and salvation through faith. James seems to be talking about, yeah, but there needs to be something behind that, you know. And it's almost as if people see that as a clash, whereas actually the two are inextricably linked. We are saved by faith, but James just calls into question a faith that doesn't have any visible outworkings of what that means in terms of changed lives and in terms of changed words. It's interesting, we don't know that much about James. His epistle is one of kind of seven general sort of epistles that are written not to a church, but perhaps to a group of people. He was probably Jesus' brother, probably converted when the risen Christ appeared to him. He was probably the leader of the church in Jerusalem, which is why there's a kind of a Jewish flavour to a bit of James. And it does pick up on many of the Old of the wisdom writings of the Old Testament, particularly Proverbs, as we've had today. But James is saying, within that equality, we should not show favouritism. What we need to be doing is to be speaking out against that. We need to be active in our faith. That the faith that we profess should have an outworking in the deeds that the world see in us. It's not that we are saved through our deeds, but it's more than just a slavish adherence to the law, which in some ways the Jews had got misinterpreted. If James even says, you know, it is the law that brings freedom, and Jews believe that by true adherence to the law, that's how they find the freedom. But it's not the slavish adherence that we sometimes see. James is saying it's about acknowledging who we are. It's about putting our faith into action and by speaking out. It's about we as Christians speaking out against poverty. It's about speaking out against inequality. It's about speaking out against discrimination, which we see in society. It's about being proactive rather than just reactive. It's about being prepared to do something rather than just being prepared to acknowledge that something is not right. There's a real challenge that James has to what does our faith mean to us day by day as we work out that living faith in our lives. As we ourselves are transformed, as our lives and our attitudes are changed, and as the lives and the attitudes of people in the world in which we live are changed through our response to the message of the gospel. Amen.